Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Have you given yourself to God, or is that the idea of giving yourself to God kind of foreign to you? Maybe that's something unfamiliar. Maybe the thought of giving yourself to God seems unattractive or maybe even frightening, considering the cost of such a possible thing. Giving yourself to God is our topic today. Withholding nothing and being entirely His. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest this hour is Steve Ray. He is a convert to the Catholic Church and the author of three best-selling books from Ignatius Press, Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, and St. John's Gospel. And he's also the writer, producer, and host of a 10-part DVD series, The Footprints of God, The Story of Salvation from Abraham to Augustine. Steve and his wife, Janet, are also certified guides for the Holy Land, and they lead pilgrimages to the Middle East and to Rome, and they got one coming up to Germany, I think. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing very good, Cy. And yes, we are taking a group to Germany in September because it's the 500th anniversary of the Protestant. Some people call it the Reformation. Others, like me, call it the Rebellion. And I'm going to take a group, and we're going to follow Martin Luther, and we're going to argue with him along the way.
Ah, very good. So when does that start? September?
September. Middle of September. I don't know the exact date. September. And okay. We're going to land in Berlin. We're going to take a day to – we're going to do a lot of sightseeing, too, as long as we're in Germany. We want to see the place. Right. We're going to have dinner on the river cruise and things like that. But our main goal is to follow all the sites related to Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. And I've got Ken Hensley, who's a Luther expert, and a priest who was a convert from Lutheranism. So we're going to have a good time walking through, having Mass at all the beautiful churches, and giving Martin Luther a little bit of a hassle, you know, a little...
Going to hassle Martin Luther.
Yeah, going to hassle okay. Martin Luther a little bit. But I think it's good that Catholics get a, you know, get a perspective of what happened, and we're going to it's going to be a seminar, too, so we're going to record a lot and make it available to people after.
It's extraordinary that what became such a total, I mean, I really don't mean this in any way denigrating, but a total mess of all kinds of different movements, wars, violence that went on for decades really does have a start date. Like you can point to a certain day and say that's essentially where this whole thing started.
Yep. And within 20 years, the reformers got together in Marburg at the castle in Marburg, and we're going to meet there. Uh-huh. And they couldn't agree. They said, how embarrassing it would be if we, who having broken away from Rome, cannot agree among ourselves. And when they left there, many of them refused to shake hands and say, you're no longer a brother of mine, because they had different theologies already within 20 years.
And Augsburg? Will you go to Augsburg?
We're going to Augsburg. Eisenach, Wittenberg,
The whole deal.
All the places.
Very good. Our topic today, however, giving yourself to God, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And Steve, really, does God expect us to give ourselves to Him?
Well, He kind of created us and requires it of us. But you know, I was thinking of this, Cy, is that all of us give ourselves to something. Every one of us. We give ourselves to something. We bow down to something, even if it's just ourself. And the question really that we have to ask is the thing that we give our lives to, whether it's ourselves or our career or pornography or whatever it is.
Right.
Everybody gives their time, their energy, their money, and their life for something. Is it worthy? Is it worthy of all that we give it? Is it going to last forever? Is it substantial? So when I think about that, since everybody gives their lives to something, even if it's just my own selfish and hedonistic desires of what I want to feel like today, is the thing that I give myself to really worthy of myself? Is it worthy for eternity? Is it going to last forever? Does it have any payback?
Yeah.
What are the rewards for giving myself to whatever it is I give myself to? So I think that God gives us a good reason why he should has a claim on us. And we'll talk about that more as we go along, both through creation and redemption. He has a claim on us. He made us. Therefore, he owns us. If I make something, it's mine. He made us in his image. Therefore, we're already his. We can rebel against that and say, I'm not going to be yours, to our own detriment. Or we can say, you created me, you made the instruction manual, so I'm going to respond likewise and give myself to you, or to recognize that you already own me. And then we fell away through sin, and now he has a second claim on us because he came and died on the cross and he redeemed us. And the word redeems means to purchase, to buy back. So not only did he make us and lost us because of our sin, but then he came and bought us back. So he has a double claim on us. And I think he has the right to say that we belong to him.
Right. And we have to kind of find that in our own, you know, our own biography has to have that moment. For you, was there a moment or was there a time where you started to realize that?
I was raised in a Baptist family. When I was 15 years old, I rebelled. As back in the 60s, everybody knows what the late 60s were like. I graduated in 1973, so you'll get an idea. I'm 62 years old, and I was back in the 60s. I had long hair. I know you look at me now on the streaming video here. Can't believe that I had long hair down on my shoulders, like a lion's mane, and bell-bottom blue jeans. I was a rebellious, stubborn hippie kid. And I remember I heard Billy Graham one night on the radio. My parents had it on the radio. And I heard Billy Graham say, God has a plan for your life. God loves you. You can put your name in there, for God so loved Steve Ray, he gave his only begotten son, that if Steve Ray believes in him, he'll not perish but have everlasting life. And I hung around enough to hear George Beverly Shea with his deep baritone voice come on at the end singing, just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. Oh, my goodness. I just started to weep. I ran out the back door. I did not want my parents to see me react that way. I was a stubborn kid. I was trying to be tough guy with them. I walked out, and we lived in the country, and I walked out that country road out under the trees, and I looked up at the stars. I was 17 years old, and I looked up and I said, Jesus, I'm only 17 years old, but tonight I'm going to give my whole life to you. And I gave my whole life to the Lord that day. I said, you're going to be my Lord. I accept you as my Savior from my sins. I am going to serve you the rest of my life. And I have done it. That's always been my trajectory. That was the most significant moment in my life. It set the whole tone of my life. And the words were, I give my life to you. And he gave me a verse that day. It wasn't like a lightning bolt, but it was a verse that was just filled my head. Matthew 6:33 said, Steve, if you seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, all the other things will be added to you. And I interpreted that to mean, put me first, give your life to me, and you'll never be sorry. I'll take care of everything. I will be the best thing that ever happened to you. And now I'm 62 years old, Si, and I can say he has never one day let me down, though I've let him down many times. He has never let me down. And that was the trajectory of my life. It was the most important single moment of my life, and everything that I do now is all based on that starting point when I gave my life to Jesus.
You know, Steve, first of all, thank you for sharing it. It's beautiful. But hearing it, it gives me a kind of, a how-to question, because you can tell that it became real for you in a certain moment. And for many people, they just don't experience the reality. And how do we communicate the reality of, you really can give your life to God? He really is there, and he really will take care of you.
Well, one of the disadvantages that many of us have is our own fathers. A lot of times people write to me and they'll say that they have this problem with God. They want to give their lives to God, but they just don't trust him. They don't know what he's going to, yeah, they just have this bad attitude, or the thinking of God as an old man just waiting to smack them down for every little thing they do. You know, I had the advantage of having a wonderful father who was very forgiving, always loving. He just spent his time with us, read us stories. And so it was easy for me when it came time to give my life to God. I was giving my life to God, seeing him kind of as my own dad, who I trusted completely, and I loved my dad. So in a sense, we look to God, our father, the way we look to our earthly father. If we had horrible fathers, it's very difficult to be able to trust a heavenly father and to love him and say, I'm going to give my life to you. Sometimes we have to deal with our earthly father and that whole the whole unfortunate situation. I, on the other hand, had a very easy time saying, I'm going to give my life to you, because I had no problem saying that to my own dad, even though at this moment I was a rebellious kid. You know, I was stubborn about it. Right. But my dad used to say to me all the time, Steve, I'm going to give you a challenge. Try to outgive God. See what happens if you try to outgive him. If you give your life to him, you give your time, your money, your energy, all of what you are, give it to him, even if it's just a matter of money. See what if you can ever outgive him. And my dad was a good example. Generous to a fault. He would give somebody his last dollar. I watched him do it. My dad would get two ice cream cones at the ice cream store, and he'd go sit in the alley next to a poor man who's sitting on the ground, and he'd say, come with me, Stevie, when I was a little boy. He'd hand the ice cream to the man and say, would you like this? The man said, oh, I'm hungry. Yes, thank you. My dad says, you're welcome. And let me tell you about Jesus while you enjoy that ice cream. And so I had a dad that always was an example of generosity and living a Christian life. So it was easy for me. So I know it's not easy for everybody. And it wasn't always easy at that moment in time. The Holy Spirit gave me the grace. But my dad also used to say, a man is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he can never lose. I can't keep my own life. I can't keep my own money. And even if I make a will that if somebody's going to get all my money when I die, I'm not really giving that to them, am I? Because I don't own it anymore anyway. Once I die, it's no longer mine. I realize that I'm no fool to give away things that I can never keep, money, family, relationships, even my own self. I cannot keep that forever. It's already God's. I'm not in charge of any of this. So I'm no fool to give away what I cannot keep to gain that which I can never lose.
Steve Ray is our guest this hour. Our topic, giving yourself to God. 888-318-7884 is the number. Happy to take your calls. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Answers Live with Steve Ray. Today on Catholic Answers Live.
We hear it every year, the perennial question, what are you giving up for Lent? And there's nothing wrong with doing without certain things you may have an affinity for. But this year, why not turn the question around and ask, what are you taking on for Lent? If you don't have a daily time for reading the Bible, we recommend you make one. And to help you with those difficult passages, we also recommend a daily dose of Trent Horn's latest book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Bible Difficulties. Hard Sayings is the perfect book for your Lenten journey. Trent looks at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offers clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning, deepening your understanding of God's Holy Word. Make this Lent one to remember. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 7, Jesus was teaching in the temple, and they then tried to arrest him. But the gospel says that no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Later, at the Last Supper, he was to say, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Nothing about his mission was accidental. His hour was deliberate and divinely calculated. We, on the other hand, spend so much energy fussing about time, and we really don't understand it at all. All we really need to be concerned about with regard to time is how well prepared we will be for our hour, our final hour. The good news is that His hour and ours intersect. Because of His final hour, our final hour can be our finest hour. I'm Father Vincent Serpo for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The modern world has all kinds of things we can give ourselves to. Maybe you give yourself to exercise or work or family or money or media or all kinds of things. And our topic today is giving yourself to God. Is it really possible? What are the practical implications? How does one practically go about giving oneself to God? 888-318-7884 is the number. Steve Ray is our guest. And Steve, Joe in Carlsbad has, I think, just the right starting question. So we'll go to Joe. Joe, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio, you are on with Steve Ray.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, yes, I'm here. Thank you.
What's your question?
My question really is how to do it. And I'll just give you a little bit of background. When I was younger, I went in the Marine Corps, but my primary reason to go in the Marine Corps was to go kill people and hopefully get killed because I didn't like being alive. And I had this attitude that I never asked to be born. I never wanted to be involved in this deal. And when that didn't happen, I got pretty crazy and wild for a while. And then about 23 years ago, I got clean and sober in AA. And about 5 years ago, I came back to the Catholic Church. And I go to confession regularly. I pray the rosary daily. I do a novena to St. Joseph. But it's like, I feel like I'm just tapped out. I'm trying. And it's like, I'm tired.
Well, I like your heart, Joe. You've got a good heart. And I would, if you and I were sitting together talking, probably the first question I'd ask is what your relationship was with your dad, because so often that influences how we view God and kind of a perspective on life. But I think your question is, how do I do it? How do I go about giving myself to God? And, it's a matter of surrender in a way. Let me tell you the way I explain it to young people, especially. You're driving down the road, and let me start this way. You have a house, and you've got a lot of rooms in it, and you decide you don't need this one room. You want to put it out for rent. So you put a sign out in front of your house and say, room for rent. And God stops by, and God knocks on the door, and he says, I'd like to see that room. And you say, okay. Joe says, okay, I'll take you up and show you the room. God says, I like this room. I'll take it. And I'd also like the room next to it. Then you say, no, you can't have that room. That's mine. I'm going to give you this room, and you can have it for $100 a month and just kind of stay in that room. But after a while, he keeps saying, I really like this room, and I'd like to get a few more if you don't mind. And one day you say, it's a pretty good tenant. It's been pleasurable having him here. I think I'll let him have that other room. And God says, great, I'll take it. And he's there and he says, I like this and I'd like some more of the rooms too. And you say, no, listen, this is my life. I've got my own personal life. I've got my own issues and so on. You can stay in this part of my house. Pretty soon you give him another room and then another room. And eventually God says, I'd like the whole house. And you say, but I can't give you the house. It's mine. This is where I live. And God says, you'll love the house more if you give it to me. It'll be a bigger house. It'll be more full of joy. It'll be more rich and beautiful and fulfilling to you if you give it all to me. And finally, you say, you know what? I'll give the whole house to you. And then you find the house is full of joy and warmth and the presence of God is there and you're no longer resisting. There's no longer the barriers between you and him. And this is kind of how you give yourself to God. I think that he looks at you, Joe, and he says, I like what you're doing, Joe. I like you. I made you in my image and I really, really love you. And I would like to be more a part of your life. Just relax and let me come in. It's not that you have to do all these things to work. It's not that you have to try and earn my love or earn my presence. I'm already here. I just want to fill your life. I want you to love me, and I want to be able to show you how much I love you. And you start to just rest in that. And then prayer becomes a communion with him and not an effort or a work that you're trying to do to earn his favor or to earn his presence, but you're saying, you know what? He's already here. He already fills my house. And of course, we're not all going to be willing to give him every room in the house right away. Sometimes that's why God is so patient. Peter says in his first epistle, consider the patience of God to be your salvation. Why? Because always resisting and kind of having the bad attitude, wrong attitude. It takes time over a lifetime. Slowly, he takes over all the rooms in our house. And I think sometimes in your case, just relax, enjoy the presence of God. Don't think of praying the rosary and doing all these things as trying to earn his friendship, earn his presence, but just realize he loves you so much already. You know, I realized one day, I realized why God created us. That's when he really, that's why he owns us, because he created us. We're his because he made us. And I realized that the Trinity up in heaven, the God and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have so much fun together. They're up there just enjoying the conversation, enjoying the love, doing things together, ruling the universe together. And they just had so much fun, and the love just bubbled over, and they said, we should create other beings to share this with us. And that's why you were created, Joe, to share all of the love and the enjoyment and the presence of God in your life, because they had so much to share. They wanted you to enjoy it and be part of it. Just relax, I think, and enjoy that.
Joe, how does that strike you?
I will let that sink into my head. I will not resist it.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Joe, you got a good heart.
Amen to that. And thank you for calling, Joe. Call again sometime. We're happy to take that call. We go now to Shonda in Silver Springs, Massachusetts, listening on 1160 AM. Shonda, you are on with Steve Ray.
Hello, Shonda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm actually in Maryland and not Massachusetts. My question is, I guess a little bit of background. So I'm 28, and I'm trying to figure out what my vocation is. So whether it's religious life or married life or single life. I was listening to the show a couple of days ago. I think it was Patrick Madrid. He was responding to someone and gave them the James 1, verse 5 verse. So I went to read it, and I read further down, and I think that was somewhere in there. I can't quote exactly what it said, but I think it was something like when you pray to God, to pray with faith, expecting that your prayer will be answered. And so I guess I'm trying to, my question is about how to reconcile what God's will for my life is, and what my desires are, or I guess like what I think I want in my life. And so whether I'm supposed to pray for that and asking for God to answer my prayer and expecting that he'll answer it that way, or just praying that whatever his will is what will happen. Or I guess I'm trying to figure out how to reconcile the two, how to pray in regards to that.
I would say, Shonda, do all of the above. I think that you pray and ask God what his will is, and do it with a sense of, Lord, I'm here. I'm your daughter. You created me in your image, and you have a plan for my life. And then you sent your son to die for me and redeem me and bring me back to you. So you purchased me. You really, really love me. And I know you have a plan for me. And I'm sitting here open to whatever you have for me. And I think that's the attitude, the heart to have. You know, there's a statement that if a stone is sitting in a field, it's hard to get that stone rolling and get it going in any direction. But if a stone is already rolling downhill, it's easy to direct it and to get it going in one or other direction. And you sound to me like a person who is there just waiting to roll down the hill, whatever way God wants you to go. You're ready to follow him. And how to pray about that, I would just be open to him. You know, sometimes a lot of people, and it's a great idea, is to find the Blessed Sacrament and just go sit in his presence. And people think when they go sit in front of the presence of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, maybe in a chapel somewhere, that they have to talk the whole time. And sometimes I think it's better to just sit there and listen the whole time. You're in the presence of God and say, I'm here to listen. You may want to talk to me today, or you may just want to comfort me today. I'll come back tomorrow, but I'm going to be open to you, and I'm wanting to do your will. I'm not going to resist it. I want to understand it. And there are great prayers of the church. Maybe you can find a couple of great prayers that others have written that you can make your own. But always, see, I come from a Protestant background, an evangelical. We we like to just pray from our heart. Whatever our heart is saying or singing, we relay that to the Lord. So I love the prayers of the church, but I also love just spontaneously talking to Him, knowing He's in my presence. And I think that if you keep yourself open to Him, He'll let you know over time, maybe through speaking to you, maybe from the words of other people. But keep your eyes open on to Him, and He'll show you the way.
Thank you very much, Shonda, for that call. More with Steve Ray when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live, and I'm looking forward to meeting you this September 28th to 30th at our fourth annual National Apologetics Conference here in beautiful San Diego. This is one conference you are not going to want to miss. The theme is the reunion of all Christians, and we've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. For almost four decades, Catholic Answers has been engaging our separated brethren in charity to bring them to the fullness of the truth. Join us for a lively and inspiring conference designed to help you play an active part in the reunion of all Christians. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith. Seats are available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
We hear it every year, the perennial question, what are you giving up for Lent? And there's nothing wrong with doing without certain things you may have an affinity for. But this year, why not turn the question around and ask, what are you taking on for Lent? Did you know that by investing as little as 5 minutes a day, you can take on a Lenten practice that will both build up and inform your faith? A Daily Defense is the perfect book for your Lenten journey. Jimmy Akin takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Make this Lent one to remember. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This hour, we're talking about giving yourself to God. It may seem, in fact, like a very difficult, if not impossible, thing to do, but it is, in fact, what we are called to do as Christians, to give our lives to God. 888-318-7884. If you'd like some help with that, Steve Ray is here to help you with it. 888-318-7884. Before we go back to calls, I want to just mention real quickly, there's only a few short days to get a guaranteed cabin on Catholic Answers June cruise. So I want to mention that again before those cabins goes away. It looks like it's going to be a great cruise. We're going to sail out of Montreal. We're going to go to Quebec City, Charlottetown on Prince Edward Island, Sydney, Halifax, Bahaba, and then down to Boston. Chris Check will be there, our president, giving talks. Tim Staples, Patrick Madrid, both giving talks. Father Paul Check from the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, giving talks. And if you put in promo code PSY, two things happen. One, you help me get to go on the cruise, promo code PSY, but also you get the full day shore excursion to Halifax, a private Catholic Answers Mass at St. Mary's Basilica Cathedral, a visit to the Maritime Museum, private lunch, a visit to Peggy's Cove Lighthouse. All that is added for free if you just use the promo code PSY right now. And as I said, I think you got just a few days before the cabins have to be given back to the cruise. Go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com for more information or call the Cruise Authority at 800-707-1634. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Come sail with us June 3rd through 10th. All through the St. Lawrence Seaway, and where some of the earliest Catholic settlements were here in the New World. Steve, we go now to Diana in Peoria, Illinois, listening on 94.3 FM Catholic Radio. Diana, your question for Steve Ray.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. And my question is, how do we keep those negative things in the secular world, like living in the world but not of the world, when we focus from it, we want to give ourselves to God, and then I'm sure each one of us has our own things that just pull us back out of that? Do you have any practical tips for us to keep those negative things at bay from the two worlds that almost seem completely opposing?
You're absolutely right. Jesus said that the world hated him and it's going to hate us as well. If we're really following him, the world's going to hate us. So if everything in the world is jiving with us and we're getting along just fine and everybody loves us, then we really ought to reevaluate and see if we're really living the Christian life the way we should. But I think you're right. I think that every day we need to renew our minds. And what I mean by that is we step out, if you think of it, when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples and he was washing their feet, and they said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, you're already, the rest of you is clean, but your feet need to be washed. And why is that? Because they were walking. And when you walk in the Holy Land with your sandals on, you're always going to have dirty feet. So the rest of you may be clean, but there's still, at the end of the day, we got to wash your feet. Jesus understood that. And so I think when we go out in the world, it is going to affect us. There are things that are going to have a negative impact on us. And I think that's why Paul says to be constantly in prayer, constantly in the presence of God. I think that we should realize and practice the presence of God. There's actually a book called that, Practicing the Presence of God, that he's always there. And when we have free time, that we pray specifically, we read good things, read the scripture, have devotions, because in a way, that's the way we wash our feet after being out in the world and affected by the world. And I think when we're in the world, whether we're at job or shopping or whatever, there's always things that want to catch our eye, give us negative. You know, my son, when he was 16 years old, he had some buddies, and they really took their Catholicism seriously. And they had something they called a babe alert. Babe alert, you heard me right. Whenever a woman came by who was scantily clad, especially in the summer or whatever, they all go, babe alert, babe alert, and they'd all look the other way. And they held each other accountable. And they would hold each other accountable for what they looked at and what they thought, and away from pornography and everything else. These guys formed a club to help themselves be holy. And it's not a bad idea to associate yourself with good people who will hold you accountable, who will encourage you in this, and who have the same similar mind that you do. So that during the day, you have your mind on God, you're practicing the fact that you're in his presence. It makes it a little easier to rebuff the things out there that are negative, that are sinful, that are evil, that would have a negative impact on us. And I think if we are grateful to the Lord, even when things don't go right or something would make us angry, realize that maybe the Lord is teaching me patience here. Maybe the Lord is teaching me love for somebody, even though I don't really want to love that person. I'm going to love them anyway. Dear God, help me love them. And pretty soon, you know, it's like lifting weights. You start out lifting weights and it's really hard and you get sore and you say, this isn't very fun. But the more you lift weights, the more you exercise, the stronger you get and the easier it gets. And I think the more we practice the presence of God and keep a mental attitude of prayer and that we're with him all the time and resisting evil and looking for what's good in people and being complimentary of people and showing love and affection for them, even though they may not to you, I think that our world will brighten up around us and we can be the cause of that happening. And not only will it help us in our interior lives as we give our life to God, but it'll make other people, it'll make our environment better too. And people will start saying, what does Diana have that I don't have? Why has she always got a positive attitude about things and I don't? Well, you know, then next thing is she's asking you and you're bringing her to the Lord. So, I mean, those are just a few practical ideas maybe.
Diana, how does that strike you?
That is wonderful. I appreciate it. And I like equating it to the exercise because that makes sense. I feel like I fail all the time rather than the fact of just keep practicing.
Oh, join the club.
Yeah.
Join the club, Diana. We're all failures every day. Yeah. But we're working and we're right with you and we're all trying to get better at it. And even talking to you about it, I've already made some new resolutions for myself for tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diana. Really appreciate that call. Let's go to Joanna in Hawley, Minnesota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Joanna, your question for Steve Ray.
Hi. I'm not really quite sure how to frame this, but since you brought up washing of the feet, I know that you have talked, I briefly caught something with you, I said previously about Jesus, after the scourging, being thrown in the cistern overnight, awaiting the trial in the morning. And,
right, right.
I mean, that is complete submission of Jesus to God, and how we could reflect, I mean, in a very small sense, our submission, our just trying to yearn towards a more positive, and of course heaven, you know, but the more positive part of our lives of trying to work towards going to heaven. And I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit maybe about Holy Thursday night.
Jan, that's a good point, and it does reflect on giving ourselves to God. Let me set the stage for everyone. When I take our groups to the Holy Land, which we do six times a year, and by the way, our next four trips are already sold out, we go into a cistern, which is a big underground cavern that is dug. The only way you can get in is as a hole at the top, and they channel the water during the rainy season to come into that hole and down into this big cistern, and then they have water during the dry season. But those also made excellent prisons because there's no way to get out of there. Once you get dropped down or lowered into that hole, down into that underground cavern, there's no way to get back out. The only way is through that hole. And we explain how Jesus, after he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, was taken up to Caiaphas's house, which is where the cistern is. It was Caiaphas's cistern. And after his trial, being punched and beaten, they lowered him down into the cistern, and that's where he spent Holy Thursday night. And on the side of the church, they have this mosaic of the ropes wrapped around him that they lowered him and left him hanging down there. Or maybe not hanging. Maybe they just dropped him down into the mud like they did Jeremiah, the prophet. And what I tell people is that Jesus was in this pit in the pitch dark. He's already beaten up. He's already been whipped and punched and beard plucked out. He hasn't had anything to eat. He knows what's going to happen in the morning. They're going to pull him out of there early in the morning, Friday. They're going to take him over there. They're going to put a crown of thorns on his head. They're going to beat him bloody like his back looks like a hamburger. They're going to torture him, mock him, and they're going to hang him on a cross, and he's going to die. He's hanging down in that cistern overnight in the dark. All his friends have been taken away from him. And I say, Jesus, the Gospels tell us that he could have called 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels. They could have liquefied the Roman army. They could have wiped the whole Roman army out. But Jesus didn't do it. Jesus gave himself for us. He asks us to give ourselves to him, but he's not asking us to do anything he hasn't already done. He gave himself to every one of us. And the fact that when he hung there on that cross, and when he was in that cistern, he could have gotten out of it at any moment. He could have said, nope, not for me. I'm going back to heaven. I tried it. It didn't feel good. He didn't do it because he loved us. And because he was God, he had the ability to think just of you personally, as though you were the only person alive, and me as though I was the only person alive, and Psy, because he is God himself, and he is able to infinitely think of each one of us, and that he was doing it for you individually when he hung there or when he was down in the mud. And that's what I say on Holy Thursday. Nobody thinks of Holy Thursday the same again after I take them down in that pit and I read to them that passage, and I say, this is what he did for you. He gave himself completely for you, his whole life. And for husbands out there, remember, it says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. That's how you're to love your wife. Doesn't mean you have to like everything. It doesn't mean you have to get along all the time. But it means that even under any circumstance, you give your life. And so when he gave his life for us and he asks us to give our life back to him, it's pretty rude to say no.
Nope, I think I was going to ask her, but the calls have dropped. We have lost our calls here. 888-318-7884 is the number. I don't know if that was the phone system or what. But Steve, I want to get to you when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to ask you about surrendering to God or giving your life to God as the source of happiness, as the source of fulfillment in this life, as the opposite of what the world says it is, which is the loss of happiness and the loss of all good things. If you have
Very
questions
good.
Or if you have comments about surrendering to God, giving your life to God, Steve Ray is our guest this hour. This is Catholic Answers Live. The number 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Today we live in an age of spiritual crisis. We all have friends and loved ones who don't practice their Catholic faith, who are torn by doubts, or who have left the faith altogether. So often at Catholic Answers, we get asked to recommend a book to help people like this. There are lots of good books that address specific issues a person may have, but very few are designed to be put into the hands of such a person, are short and easy to read, and cover a wide variety of reasons for the Catholic faith and its teaching. That's why we're publishing Trent Horn's new book, Why We're Catholic. In a series of brief chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe anything at all, and proceeding to cover science, the existence of God, the arguments for Jesus, and the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. We want Why We're Catholic to be that book, that one general book you can hand out to someone as a starting point for helping them find their way back to the church and to God. We even hope to distribute cases of the book in churches so people can take copies home to give to their friends and loved ones. To make your donation and get a free copy of Why We're Catholic, visit Catholic.com and click the Why We're Catholic banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why We're Catholic banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
We hear it every year, the perennial question, what are you giving up for Lent? And there's nothing wrong with doing without certain things you may have an affinity for. But this year, why not turn the question around and ask, what are you taking on for Lent? If you don't have a daily time for reading the Bible, we recommend you make one. And to help you with those difficult passages, we also recommend a daily dose of Trent Horn's latest book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Bible Difficulties. Hard Sayings is the perfect book for your Lenten journey. Trent looks at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offers clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning, deepening your understanding of God's holy word. Make this Lent one to remember. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, pro-life open forum. Any questions you've got on the beginnings of life, the ends of life, or moral questions having to do with medical procedures, Dr. George Delgado will be here to take your calls. This hour, we're talking about turning your life over to God. Have you given yourself to God? Or does that seem like an unrealistic and improbable thing to do? Steve, I said I was going to ask you this before the break, and I do want to ask you about this: turning your life over to God as the key to happiness, not as the obstacle to happiness.
Yep. Imagine some fish in a fish tank. And they're happy swimming around in the water. But they look at us outside. We go to get a beer. We're going outside. We're watching television. We're doing all these things. And the fish say, why are they out there having all this fun? They're not limited to this fish tank. We think it's a conspiracy. Somebody's got us in here to keep us from having fun, to keep us from enjoying our life. We're stuck here in the water. So the fish come up with a plan that they're going to get out of the fish tank. On Saturday morning, they all get their tails going and they whoosh, they fly out of the fish tank and now they're free, right? Now they can have fun. No, they're all dead because fish aren't made to live on the carpet. And I use this example with young people that if we really want to be happy, we should live where God made us to live. The fish are happiest in the water. That's their optimal living environment, is in the water. What is our optimal living environment? God made us to live in the heart of his church, to be in relationship with him, our heavenly father, to be loved by him and to respond to that love. He doesn't want to, like you and I are talking off the air, he doesn't want to take anything away from us. He wants to give us everything. Like I said earlier, he created us so that he could share all the bubbling love and fun and enjoyment the Trinity is experiencing. He wants to pour it out on us and to draw us right up into the life of the Trinity. The only things that he wants to take away from us are the things that kill us, like sin, things that hurt us, like selfishness and anger, and the things that cause us to rot inside. We curdle up like rotten milk when we get angry. He's wanting to take that away from us so that we're full of joy and we're transparent and we have this. And when we give our lives to God, it's not as though we become a slave. We become free. Being in right relationship with God, he frees us from sin. He frees us from anger. He frees us from the things that have hindered us in the past. All of the bad things in life, he wants to take those. He's like a good father. A good father doesn't want to hurt his kids. A good father wants to take away anything. You know, when I had my kids growing up, and now I have 13 grandchildren, the thing that pains me the most is when my kids are suffering something that I can't do something about. If they get hurt and I can't do anything to stop it. A father, God the Father, doesn't want to take anything away. He wants to heal our pains. He wants to heal our wounds. He wants to take away all those things that hurt us. And he just wants to give us life and joy and happiness. Giving your life to God is not losing your freedom. It is living in the optimum environment in the heart of his church that he gave us so that we can be full of joy.
Amen to that, Steve. We go now to, let me give out the number, 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We go now to Crystal in DuQuoin, Illinois. You are on, Crystal, with Steve Ray.
Hello.
Hello, Crystal.
How are you?
Doing good, Crystal.
Well, I was calling today because I found myself further and further and further from the church due to gossip among the women and just kind of the inter-fighting that goes on. And I'm finding it very difficult to get back into finding joy in being with the Lord when there is so much that seems false on the outside with the people that you're supposed to worship with.
Yeah, I understand completely. You know, one of the problems about the church is it's made up of human beings. That's one of the big problems. The church is the divine, and it's both divine and human. It is the mystical body of Christ. But it's also made up of human beings, which is a big problem because, just like you're saying, we have all of our foibles and our sins. And I've always said that the church is not just a haven for saints. It's also a hospital for sinners, which is, by the way, why I joined. I think let's do a practical things here. You don't want to stay away from church. That's the wrong thing to do because then you make yourself smaller than they are. By avoiding them and not going to church, you end up only hurting yourself. There's a couple of things I would think you can do. Go there and ignore them. Go there to worship God. Don't get involved with them. Ignore the ones who are causing the problems and just go there and enjoy the Lord. Sit on the other side of the church if you have to. Or you can confront them. Sometimes when people are openly sinning and they're gossiping, it's not a bad idea to say, you know, I'd really prefer not to get in on this gossip, which is exactly what it is, ma'am. I would rather look at the good in people. I would rather see that they're made in the image of God. They've been redeemed. And you know, Jesus really loves that person, and he's not looking at them the way you are. I often think of the fact that when the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the final day when Jesus takes us all into heaven and we're his bride. And by the way, all of us are his bride. He loves us. He is passionately in love with his church. That means all of us. And if the bride is coming up the aisle towards heaven to be married to the Lamb, to Jesus, and people are making fun of the church and saying, oh, she's this. Oh, look at her. Oh, she's gained a lot of weight. Oh, baby, you know, like this. Do you think that Jesus is going to be pleased with this people gossiping and talking about his bride? Not on your life. So there's a time where maybe, Crystal, you can say to them, you know, Jesus really loves these people. And I'm trying to do that, too, and I'm not going to get involved in the gossip. I'll tell you, you do that one time, and that will zip their lips so fast, they will really hesitate to ever gossip around you again because you have reproved them. And you can do it in a pleasant, loving way. And a drastic thing is if you can't overcome it in that church, it's not the only Catholic church. There are other Catholic churches, and you have the ability to choose the friends you associate with. And I would just encourage you, don't give up on the church because of a few gossips and busybodies. Don't let them keep you back from a relationship with Jesus and his family.
Thank you very much, Crystal. I certainly hope that that was helpful for you. Steve, we are, as you know now, we're on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope, streaming live each day.
Yeah, I know. I'm can't even pick my nose or anything here because everybody sees me now.
And thank you for saying that on the air, too. That was
I can't. You got to be careful what you do and say.
Well, Dominique, watching us on Facebook Live, wants to know about consecration to Jesus through Mary and about whether it is biblical. And I suppose one of the ways that, as a matter of fact, I'm sure of this, one of the ways that people do, in fact, in a quite concrete way, surrender themselves to God is through consecration. And is this, yes, is this idea, she wants to know, a biblical idea?
Well, consecration is very biblical because consecration means that we commit ourselves and devote ourselves to God at 100%. Marian consecration, to me as a Baptist in my former life, I would have said that was idolatry. It was just horrible. You know, this is a bad thing to do. Since I become a Catholic, I realized that Jesus loves and respects his mother, and I better do the same. And I realize there's a whole theology here I don't have time to go through, but I realized based on how Israel worked, Jesus is the king of Israel, and the kings of Israel always had queens, but the queens were never their wives, they were always their mothers. And when Solomon, his mother, walked into the throne room, he raised his mother up to be seated at his right hand. And from that point on, the queens of Israel were always the mothers, and they ruled in the kingdom with their son. They were the intercessors for the people. Now, I see Jesus being the quintessential king of Israel, and when he sat on his throne, he raised his mother up and sat her at his right hand, and she's there seated on a throne next to her son as the queen of heaven. She's there, and the last words that Mary say in the Bible, does anybody remember what they are? Do whatever he tells you. She is advocating for her son, and she does not want you to look to her. She's not interested in her. She loves her son. He's the king. She's there to promote him. And she wants everybody is to love him as much as she does. So to consecrate yourself to the queen who is in love with her son can only be a good thing. And I think that consecration to Mary is a great thing, and ask her to help you know her son better. Any mother is going to, especially a Jewish mother, anybody that knows Jewish mothers, they love to talk about their sons. They love the best for their sons. And Mary is the same. And she considers us her children. We are also the children. She's the mother of the church. So she has only the best wishes. Consecrate yourself to the mother and let her bring you closer to her son.
Amen to that. 888-318-7884 is the number. Steve Ray is our guest. And Steve, this idea of giving yourself to God, somebody should make a talk about this, produce some kind of...
Oh, my God. I did.
I know you did.
I wish I had a copy of it here, but I do. It's on my website. I have a website. I have a lot of my talks there on MP3s and CDs, but I have one called Giving Yourself to God, and it's all about stewardship, too, about giving the three T's, the letter T. There's three of them, time, treasures, and talents. God wants our whole life, but we are sometimes greedy with our talents. We want to keep them to ourselves. We don't want to share them. With our time, oh my goodness, that's my time. I can't be giving it to God and other people. And our treasures, all things that we can't keep anyway. They really don't belong to us. They belong to God. They're his gifts to us to use as stewards. A steward is someone who is in charge or responsible for something given by someone else. God gives us things. He says, you are the steward of your time, of your talents, of your treasures, and even of your own life and family. You do not own them. I have loaned them to you. Use them wisely. Remember the man who buried his talent instead of using it? He buried his talent, and God was not happy with him. We should give our lives to God, be generous with everything he's loaned us, so that when we stand before him, he's going to say, welcome into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear at the end.
And me too. Amen to that. And people can find you where, Steve? Steve Ray?
Catholic Convert. Oh. CatholicConvert.com.
CatholicConvert.com. And you can get the talk there, Giving Yourself to God. Thank you so much, Steve Ray, for being with us today.
It was lovely. Thank you, Cy.
And we'll finish out this week, next hour, with an hour of pro-life open forum. Any questions you've got on the origins of life, the beginnings of life, the ends of life, or questions about the moral, what is moral and what may be immoral in our care for life as we go along, our guest will be Dr. George Delgado. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.